Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Hey, my name is Shiloh. I got my friend Kyle up here playing with me today. The song we're going to play is called I Need You.
Flickering street light on the 7th, nearly about to drive me insane. Lovers holding hands in the parking lot, laughing as it starts to rain. You're probably at your apartment, lying not alone in your bed. I should have known when I saw you bending low at your record player, you play me next. You got your own way of walking, you got your own way of talking, and you don't need me like I need you. I found some matches you left here, set them on fire one by one. I laid on the floor and watched the fan blades draw lazy circles till dawn. And I had a good long think about us, or the lack thereof, to tell the truth. I cannot divine how you could sleep at night knowing you made someone so blue. But you're not me and I'm not you. You got your own way of walking, you got your own way of talking, and you don't need me like I need you. I need you like the flowers need the rain, like the blood in my veins, but it's all just a shame. I need you like a snake in my bed, like a hole in my head. When can I see you again? 'Cause you don't understand. No, you don't understand. Oh, you don't understand. Oh, you. Oh, you. You got your own way of walking, you got your own way of talking, you got your own way of walking, you got your own way of talking, and you
All right, I think we're good. All right, well, welcome you to Porch Talk. Got Shiloh Martin and Kyle Sawhill here with me. We are at Little Italy's. And just to start things off, guys, tell me a little bit about where we're at. What does this place mean to the music community?
Oh, this is the epicenter of music in Birmingham. This place
is a loaded
is.
Question.
Yeah. This place is it's loaded full of meanings and memories for all of us. This has become like the Bluebird Cafe of Birmingham, I think. Like this is where original music has it comes to thrive and be born, I think. So yeah, this place is really special, so I'm really happy that we were able to do this here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just from some of the podcasts I've done here in Birmingham, you know, this place, it typically comes up. Just what it means to the community.
Yeah.
So just for starters, for the both of you, tell me a little bit about growing up, where you're from, and how you got into music.
You want me to go first?
Go for it.
Okay. well, I grew up in Oak Grove, Alabama, way out in the country. I went to school down there in Oak Grove. Music was just always kind of there. You know, it was, my father was a blues guitar player. He and my mom divorced when I was two, but he was present in my life. And my mom, she could play guitar. And I know that she could have written songs, like if she, that was something that she decided to do. But I think she was more preoccupied, of course, with, you know, raising me and then eventually my little brother. And music was kind of a, you know, it was just always there. She got me playing piano when I was like eight. Mm-hmm. And I got real into that because I started out on like classical stuff, and so that was like, you know, that opened up an avenue in my brain that I still travel down every now and then. I'm trying to think because, like I said, it's just ever present. It's hard to think of where it came from.
Yeah,
it's just there all the time.
What about like the early influence, like? That, you know, that first record or song on the radio that was like, oh, that's just it.
Well, I'll tell you what, probably that would be, I would be able to pinpoint that a little bit better. I remember, and this is going to seem strange, but one time I came home from school and I had a bad day, and it was like towards my birthday, which is on Halloween, and my mom turned on Kiss's Greatest Hits.
Kiss.
Yes. And that's it. I heard I Was Made for Loving You. I think I was like 10 or 11. And I was like, oh, well, this is awesome. This is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that kind of began. I'd always loved poems and stuff. I love the written word. I love, you know, verse. And I love lyrics. I love rhymes, the way that they all kind of fit like puzzle pieces. And my grandma would get me to memorize little poems and things like that. And so I eventually started, you know, writing my own little poems and little songs and things. And but I never put them together on the piano. I didn't do that. It wasn't until I taught myself guitar at 14 that I started to do that.
Was it always a 12-string?
I started out on an Ovation that eventually fell apart.
Was it the round backs?
Yeah. It was plastic. The whole thing, it was awful. It sounded awful, but it was my first guitar and I loved it. And the 12-string came not long after that. I got that when I was about 15 or 16.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Kyle, let's hear it.
All right, yeah, so I started off, grew up in Huffman and ended up graduating from Trustwood. And growing up, my parents had a record player and a lot of records, and I just put on whatever record I pulled out next. It's a lot of R&B and classic rock, and I didn't really have a preference of style, just like whatever music I heard, whatever came on the radio. But I remember being in eighth grade and the whole Seattle grunge thing happened. A buddy of mine brought Pearl Jam's first record, or first CD, 10. I remember listening to it in the headphones and thinking, wow, those guitars sound really cool. And I took lessons and learned how to play chords, you know, being inspired by that. And I never had any inspirations to play lead guitar until I heard Dark Side of the Moon. And I listened to Tom, okay. And I was like, I gotta learn how to play some stuff like that. And for my birthday, my mom took me to Highland Music. I took 6 months of lessons from Ben Tressel. And that's, you know, he taught me how to play by ear, how to play scales, and that's where I am now.
Yeah, and just, man, it's crazy. It seems like just with social media, or if I just happen to be out, it seems like you stay fairly busy.
Yeah, I've been lucky. She gave me a lot of street cred after she asked me to be in her band. So it's helped my career.
That's awesome.
All right, guys. Well, just rounding it up to today, and just like with your songwriting, Shallow, is how long has that been going on? And you know, where do some of them stories come from? Are they personal, or is it other people's lives? Or
some of them are. Some of them are really personal. The two that I played today, they're not from my. I'll go ahead and tell you, they're not from my own life at all. They're just pictures that I got in my head. They're like a scenario or an idea that I had, and usually it usually starts with the title. That's usually how I go about things. But it can come from anywhere. It can come from a little dee-dee-dee that I kind of hear, and I kind of run with that. But usually, yeah, those both started with the title and just an idea for a story. Some of them are personal, which can be fun because they can be about specific people. But sometimes that can be good, sometimes it'd be bad. But I mean, the beauty of songwriting is that no matter what it means to me, I send it out in the world and people can take whatever they want from it. You know, they can, you know, it can be about anything for them.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's fun.
Yes, that's the thing about it is, you know, you'll write a song and you just put it out on the web or just send it over to a friend, and like they'll automatically like give it some kind of a meaning, and it's not even where the song came from.
Yeah.
It's
mm-hmm.
That's the thing about music or art, visual or
interpretation.
Yeah,
yes.
It's always open for interpretation. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing. Of guys, how did y'all meet? How did that go down?
You and I met for the very first time at, I want to say it's Courtyard 280.
Yeah, Zach asked me to come play in that game.
Yes. Yeah, I think we would have, every now and then we would, because we had like a standing, me and Zach had a standing gig at Courtyard 280, and we had like, I think, that was every Thursday for us, but we would have like Trustville Courtyard like once, or like bi-weekly or something.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then we would get these guitar players, you know, or people just to come sit in. We had Matt Broach on drums one time. We would get Matt Willis every now and then playing lead with us. And one of them was Kyle Sawhill.
Yeah. And I thought it went terrible. I didn't know what I was doing.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, that was, what, 4 or 5 years ago? And I really kind of was trying to figure out how to play on stage. I just started playing gigs like 4 or 5 years ago, and that was one of the earlier gigs that I played. I just remember thinking, no, like, I don't know her songs. I'm just going to have to go with the key that it's in. Hopefully she'll like it. I guess she did. So.
Yeah, I did. It didn't matter. He's a great improviser. Like, he's, man, it's incredible some of the stuff that he just comes up with off the top of his head. So, yeah, no, that was, whatever you're thinking about any of those gigs, it's wrong. Like, it was great.
I'm very critical of
them. That was, it's very flexible, man. I was very impressed that night we was over in Fultondale. You were playing with Lori Raine.
Yeah.
And just some of the covers, I mean, it was like, man, you know, you did a Pearl Jam cover, and then there was a Taylor Swift cover, and I was like, I mean, these guys are able to pull off some pretty wide genres.
I appreciate that. Yeah, she does a wide range of different styles of music, and I just try to go in and add my own touch to it, and so far it's working out good. She hadn't fired me, so I guess I'm doing a good job. I'm so negative about myself.
I'm just waiting around to get fired, okay?
Yeah.
Let's so man, just with those 4 or 5 years that you've been playing, like, was there a lot of fear being on stage at first?
Yeah, I mean, it took me, I guess I started playing when I was 13, and I was 36 before I decided to do something about it and actually start playing. My buddy Jason Rubbs was nice enough to let me get on stage with him a lot.
Yeah.
And learn a lot from him and our buddy Daniel McCabe, and they taught me a lot, so I owe a lot to those guys.
Yeah, it was, man, it was church for me that really got me up on stage. Like, I was scared to death. And then, like, the thing about the church crowd is, like, it doesn't matter if good or bad or what you do. You're going to hear a good job, you know. So that was always encouraging. And then when it came time for those open mics, you know, it was a little bit easier to step out because I had been on stage for so long. What about you?
Yeah.
Did you have any kind of stage fright when you was getting started?
You know, like, when I got started, I didn't. I had kind of started doing, like, you know, like I said, like, when I was, like, 14, I started putting, like, songs together and everything. But at first, I just wanted to be a guitar player. Like, that was my thing. And I joined the FFA student band at my high school. And we would go to these competitions, and the pressure was on, and I felt fine. Like, I was, you know, I felt like I was in my element. But, and I don't know what happened, but at some point I did start suffering from stage fright. And and that was after I had been doing it for, like, 6 years. I mean, steadily. And, I actually think it began when I started going up to Nashville. I think that's when it began for me.
But, what do you think it was? What do you think caused it?
I don't know. I felt like the world was going to end if I messed up, like, or something like that, or, like, you know, because, like, sometimes whenever, you know, like, the very first time I went up to Nashville was when I auditioned for the Bluebird Cafe's Sunday Night Writers Nights, and I just felt like, I was like, I gotta get this right, like, if I mess this up, it's going to be awful, and for some reason, that just kind of stuck with me, and but it just amounted to, like, nervous energy, basically. Like, now, like, when I feel like I'm in a high-pressure situation, I'll work out beforehand. I'll get all that out
mm-hmm. Yeah.
and stuff, and then I'll be fine. And so, yeah, now it feels a whole lot more, you know, now I'm much more loosey-goosey about it. Like, whatever happens, it'll be fine.
Does being back, like, with Kyle, I mean, that has to help as far as, like, just being on stage, for both of you, right? It's like, well, I got him on stage with me, so I don't feel like I'm carrying all the weight, you know?
Yeah, sometimes I'm fine by myself, but definitely now with Kyle, and it definitely feels like he's an extension of myself. Like,
how long have y'all been playing together now?
I feel like
it's been a year and a half.
Yeah, let's hear about that.
I guess you take last year away because last year didn't count for anybody. But
yeah, I know that's
the
so,
mulligan.
Yeah,
the mulligan year.
Yeah, that's so strange. Like, July 24th, the band, you know, that includes Kyle, will be together for 2 years. But we're about, like, this Ghost Train show coming up is our sixth show. And, you know, because of the pandemic, like, mm-hmm. And it's so weird to think about that. But yeah, so if you take a year away, it's been, you know, not bad.
Yeah, let's spend a little time talking about that. So April 16th, is that right?
Ghost?
24th. Mm-hmm. Ghost Train. Is that one of the biggest gigs that y'all have done together?
What did we do? We played at Avondale. We opened for Winston Ramble with Jason Grubbs.
Right.
We opened for Cattle at the Nick.
Yeah.
That was fun.
And we did Horse Pins for Sex.
And we did Horse Pins, yeah.
EP
we did
release.
That EP release. Yeah, this is
this is the one I think where we're featured.
Yeah.
There's no other bands, it's just us for 3 hours or so. So,
mm-hmm.
Gotta start practicing.
That'll be tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, we're getting on that tomorrow.
3 hour sets. Does it ever feel like, oh God, this is the longest 3 hours? I don't know if we're gonna make it. We need more solo and Kyle.
Yeah, well, I told her we'll extend my solos out as long as we can. You know, there'll be a couple of good breaks in there, but we're gonna time it out where it'll work out. We got some songs, extra covers we're gonna throw in there.
Yeah, we'll be fine. And I know it'll pass. I know it'll probably pass like that. Like, there's been some 2 hour gigs I've played that just seem like they went on for days. And then there's been 4 hours that I've done before that are just, you know, just restaurant gigs, and they went by like that. Just depends on who you're with.
Yeah, I want to hear a little bit more about your story. So, like, from coming up out of high school, being in FFA, mm-hmm. When you graduated, what did life look like? Was you pursuing college, or what did you want to do?
I wanted to go to college, but I wanted to go for graphic design. I was also really, like, you know, as we talked about it on the phone, I'm also very, very into graphic design. And
yeah.
Like, when I saw Toy Story when I was, like, 7, I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah, like, and animation.
So I became really, really obsessed with animation stuff, and I had started out just wanting to do like that, and, you know, just do graphic design and artwork, paint and stuff like that. And I decided to go to school, and then I was talking to my mom about it, and I just started playing, like, bar gigs. And so I think I decided to take a year off, And, you know, my mom, she was fine with that. She was like, yeah, I'll take a year off. And then it became 2 years and, you know, 3 years. And I just, I started getting way, way more serious about music. And, it wasn't that I wasn't always serious about music. It's just that I had these two things. And one just eventually took over the other. And so, and then after that, by the time I was 21, I was gone. Like, that was it. Like, we were just writing songs for the rest of our life.
Yeah. Did you ever return back to college?
No.
I mean, just with the graphic design that you do, I mean, the early James video, and I've seen some of the things you've done. I mean, it's brilliant work.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a few projects I might want to use you for.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, we talked about that. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I got to send you some of the...
Yes.
Yeah, some of the ideas, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never went back to college. I've taken some, like, there's this website called Skillshare that is awesome, and you can learn anything on that. Mm-hmm. You can learn, I mean, just, like, it doesn't even have to be graphic design stuff. It's literally, it's anything you can think of, like, any kind of trade, any kind of, like creative thing. And so I've learned some stuff on there, but it's mostly just, like, looking at, like, what I really, really like, and then... You know, and then thinking about that, like, my own take on it, or you know, I've taken a lot from artists that I love and different things that I've seen. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten by without having any formal training.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it works. But you get a little bit of time in college where you probably picked up on some of the programs and how to do it, right?
I know. I never went to college at all. I enrolled. And I think I took the enrollment test.
Okay.
And that was it. That was all. I just never went back.
Then it was songwriting forever, huh?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that stole my soul after that, and you know, that's the main thing. I've had, thankfully, I really appreciate it. I've had a lot of people asking me about, you know, what is your, you know, what could you do, like, animation jobs, you know, like, I would love to hire you to do that, and I've had to say no, because those take so much time. Like, mm-hmm. that's different than a poster or, like, a graphic or something. Man, like, that video I did for Winston Ramble took like 30 hours. And I just, now that the band is starting to play again, and I'm looking for, you know, branching out and looking for things for us to do, that's, you know, the main thing. We'll have to go back to being the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Kyle, what about it, man? Like, coming up out of high school, what did that look like, man? What was you wanting to do when you got out?
I went to community college for a few years. I lived in Auburn for 3 or 4 years, and college, it wasn't my thing. Just didn't work out, and then I came back home, started working in the tire business, and I did that for 15 years, but I'm ready for something different, especially now that I've got you know, this music stuff going. I want to find something that I can kind of build around that and keep my weekends open, so... It's a big focus playing music right now, but yeah, the tire business is in my past. I got really burned out on it. And there's only so much physical.
Yeah.
I'm 42 now, so I can't keep, you know, killing my body.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, it's like with some of the jobs that I've had in the past, man, and they weren't just like just high demanding, but I was in my late 20s and I was at Ingalls Shipyard. It was being a ship fitter. I did that for a year, and it was like every day I was like, I hate myself for this.
Yeah.
You know, the money is just not even worth it, you know. And it pays well, but it's hot, and it sucks.
Yeah, but you only have one body and one back.
That's right.
I wake up with my lower back stiff in the mornings.
Yeah.
I stretch to get out of bed. So, yeah, I'm ready to do something else. So.
Yeah. What are you thinking, man?
Well, I got a couple people I'm talking to. Something more along the lines of, I got a buddy that he... works at a sewage maintenance company, and he was telling me this job they have. Basically, you send a robot down into the sewer, and it checks for, like, pipes or whatever maintenance that needs to be done, and you're controlling it with a screen, and the robot has a camera on it, so it's like playing a video game.
Yeah.
So I've been training for that my whole life.
Yeah, I've been waiting on this gig.
Yeah. So, yeah, that would be something cool to look at. Yeah, I'm talking to him this week, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. I'm trying to remember the name of the app. Luke Wood told me about it. And just being in Birmingham, I thought about this. It's like, if I lived in a bigger city, I wonder if I could walk away from a full-time job. Because it's like Craigslist, but it's an app geared toward just small jobs that people just don't want to deal with, like putting together an office chair or maybe cutting their grass. And I was like, it would be kind of cool just to be today I might make $300. Well, today I might not make crap, but I got a gig, you know. I was trying to figure out, like, if that would be something, like, worth, like, pursuing if you was just being a musician, right? Because it's, like, I think it's a very rewarding lifestyle, but it's, like, you're going to be, I mean, where's the money at unless, you know, you just hit it Taylor Swift big, you know, you're, like, pop star, you know?
Yeah.
What are the odds? So what else? What else right now, guys? We got Ghost Train coming up. What else is coming up for y'all that y'all are just excited about?
Well, I'm trying to keep some things open. I'm talking to Roberta about playing the Nick, probably like in May or June,
right?
Probably. And but now that things are kind of slowly opening back up, you know, like all these festivals and things are taking applications, and there's all these other things and everything. So I'm trying to wait. Like, I hate that. Like, I hate having to play that waiting game. But you know, there's a lot of things, stuff like that, that's coming up that I'm waiting to see if it, you know, that if, you know, they're like, okay, you know, we liked your stuff, come play.
And yeah.
Everything. So I'm trying to see if any of those pays off. But other than that, we'll probably be at the Nick. You know, if we can get like some cool opening spots or something like that. You know, like I said, everything is kind of. It's open, but it's not. Like, it's, everything's kind of just, like, in this weird limbo.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm just kind of, I'm trying to wait to see what everything does. And, like I said, I'm waiting for some of these pots to boil.
We have some duo stuff, right? Like the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got...
The Ghost Train, the night before Ghost Train, you and I are playing here.
Yeah.
And I think we have something else, I can't remember.
Yeah, we're
playing
in May, like, yeah, a couple times in May.
Yeah.
And everything, and then I'm playing Frank all the time.
Yeah.
And stuff. And
so y'all both have played at the Nick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the full band?
Yeah.
Yeah. Steve and Daryl.
Yep.
I don't know if it will, I assume it will. But I gotta ask the James Mullis question.
Okay.
Alright, this is about banter.
It's about what?
Banter.
Okay.
It can be something that you heard, maybe you were in the crowd and, you know, whoever was performing said it. Or maybe you said it, or maybe it was someone in the crowd. It was just like, that just kind of blew me away. What'd you say? So it's like, what is the best or worst banter you've ever heard? And a lot of these are Nick stories.
Like on stage, like from a band?
Yeah.
Like,
or it could be from the crowd.
Something that somebody yelled at us?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I've got a couple stories in that respect. Like that's,
let's
that's,
go.
That's... One of the funniest things that stuck with me was actually said by Ryan Saab. And he was on stage, he was at the Nick, and like they were trying to figure out something had gone wrong with the audio or something like that. And they were talking amongst themselves. I don't know what was going on, but Ryan turns around and gets in the mic and says, "Man, if I wasn't in this band, I'd hate this band." and like that. That killed me. And I don't know, like crowd wise, like reacting to stuff. I don't know if you're familiar with the band Ghost. They're
yes.
Like real theatrical. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw them on my birthday in Arkansas on Halloween night.
And they do like the mask,
yes.
And it's there's a lot of,
yeah.
Is it pyrotechnics they use some of that?
They use, yeah, when they're able to, because they play a lot of really old theaters, so they're not allowed, sometimes they're not allowed to use all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Ghost. I think the first song I heard of theirs, I think it was Square Hammer.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, that's them.
Yeah.
They're awesome. I've seen them so many times. I love them. But they had this girl, she was really good, but she was very, very spacey. Like, she did, like, this very atmospheric indie. And, you know, if you know Ghost, then that kind of didn't really fit. And so, but she had a look. Man, she looked like Morticia Adams. She was beautiful. She played, like, this hollow body guitar. And she came on stage, and she didn't say anything. Like, it was just real, real mysterious. And she played, like, her songs. And, like I said, they're real, real soft, real spacey. And, like, there were people in the back going, "What's the name of the band?" And stuff, like, I mean, just yelling. And she, like, she got on the mic, she's got this really, really soft voice. She said, "My name is Melissa Naller," and something, she's talking about herself, and somebody went, "What?" And,
I like, I don't remember where Les Newby was, but it was the sound guy that was working this venue. I guess they were friends, but they had just played their first song. And the guy just yells, one more song. It's like, of course you're going to get one more song, man. You're going to get probably about 10 more.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, that's better than Freebird.
I had a guy, or I was at Oasis, I was playing with Jason Grubbs, we were doing full band. This is a few years ago. And if you're familiar with anything Grubbs does, it's like old blues songs, but, you know, we crank it up, you know, rock style. And we did, I think we were three songs in, and this older guy that had a Guns N' Roses shirt on is on my side of the stage right in front of me. And after the third song, he goes, "Hey, man, y'all know any Guns N' Roses?" And I'm like, "Man, you just heard us do three old blues songs. Does that sound like it's going to fit into our catalog?" I didn't say that. I was like, "Man, yeah." As I said, "Sorry, we don't know any Guns N' Roses." He was like, "You ain't worth a shit." And then just walked away.
God.
Gave me a disgusting look.
Oh, my goodness.
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stories I could tell about the stuff that Steve says to me when we're playing on stage, but I don't want to get in trouble. So.
Wait, why are you going to get in trouble now?
We're just always messing with each other, making faces.
On stage?
He's
telling me
to speed it up or whatever, you know. You're dragging, you know. We just mess with each other a lot of times.
Steve.
It's,
Steve is like the police of this band. He's Gestapo in this band. He's like,
we'll argue for 10 minutes of practice about how a song should end.
It's all because of Steve.
Because we couldn't decide, the song went on for 8 minutes.
Yeah. The argument did. Nah, it's all in fun. We have a good time.
Yeah, we do. It's a really great group. Like, I'm really, really blessed to have these dudes. Like, it's been an edifying experience.
I wanted to talk to y'all about just the Birmingham scene, and it's a beautiful thing, and like, I'm glad that I've been able to sit down with some of the musicians and like have these conversations. It's like, when you were first breaking into the scene, and you've mentioned it before, but like, who were some of the people already in the scene that just really took a chance on you and like brought you in and like maybe to get you to a place? I hear Zach Austin come up a lot.
Aw, snack. Well, what's funny is that when me and Zach met, he and I went to high school together. But we never, like, we ran in different circles, and like we never really talked, and now we're the best friends. We're like brother and sister now.
Yeah, it's weird how it goes.
And it was so strange. It's so weird that we'd never really talked before. But I started doing the open mic at Bottle Street. I started doing the open mic there, and he would come. He had just started his band, his bluegrass band, Calling Station. And so, he would come and I would play, and then he would play, and we would talk and stuff. And I became friends with people that he was friends with. I started going over to his house. And Zach, let's see, what happened? Because I had started playing solo. That was like the thing that I'd done. I kind of was in a rock band for a little bit. Like, I played bass. And that was a ton of fun. That's actually where I met Kyle's brother, and I didn't know Kyle existed.
Yeah.
So it was like right as I started getting out and playing, Zach's band Calling Station fell apart,
mm-hmm.
and it was this big. It just blew up, and it was really kind of a bad experience for him. And he really, really wanted to give up music. And I think he was playing the Courtyard gigs, and he had a bunch left over that the band wasn't going to be doing anymore. And he was like, "Hey, you want to come play with me on these? You know, we'll split the time, we'll split the money." And so I was like, yeah, we can do that. And so we would just song swap. Like, that's what we would do. And then eventually we started singing on each other's stuff. We started playing on each other's stuff, and we brought the cone in. And that's how that became, he and I, kind of, blossomed into the scene. Like, we kind of planted our roots into the Birmingham scene together.
Yeah.
And that's been a wonderful, beautiful, strange ride.
Yeah. Does anybody else come to mind? What about you, Kyle? Has anybody really come to mind as far as, like, I mean, you mentioned about getting up on stage and who pushed you there. What about just, like, maybe getting in some other gigs or...
Like I mentioned before, Grubbs kind of was nice enough to let me get up and start doing stuff with him. Then I played, I've mostly done like the hired gun thing where I just played with random, just different people.
Yeah.
They wanted some lead guitar. And I played in one band for about 4 months that was a great experience. This guy like traveled down south and played at the beach and played some cool gigs like that, but it didn't work out for a lot of reasons. I won't mention his name, but yeah, I guess after that didn't work out, it was a week later. I was ready to give up. I was like, this isn't for me. I was just burnt out on it and just tired of doing it. And then she hit me up a week later after that fell apart.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'll give it a try. So yeah, that worked out pretty good. It's working out so far.
Pretty good. Yeah. Best decision. One of the best decisions I've ever made.
But yeah, I have a lot of friends that help me out. You know, going to these open mics like Taylor Honeycutt, Gary Edmonds, like those guys have all like taken me under their wing and helped me out to be a better musician and just learn how to play it note for note and not get too overwhelmed by it. You
know? Yeah. Good plug, man. Taylor Honeycutt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about what she's got going on.
Yeah.
Love that. B.B. Palmer and her, they've been out in Texas lately, and they've been all over the place.
Yeah, I think I saw that they'd gone to Texas. I feel like they went somewhere in the Midwest. I feel like it might have been Colorado or somewhere. I feel like it might have been. Sometimes I read a whole bunch of words together, and my brain just picks all of it up, and some of it's right, some of it's wrong. They were doing that whole thing, and you know, her and Josh is an incredible guitar player, and BB, like me and Zach have opened for them and played with them like at Marty's and Nick before and stuff.
Yeah.
And so yeah, they're super cool.
Yeah, I went down there to if I can think of where they're at now, where they
Demopolis.
Yeah. That's right. And hung out down there. We podcasted and had to do it twice. The first time we done it, the episode failed. But there was a baby shower going on across the street, and they had brought out like a pianist, and then like it was like people just kept showing up, and like we were recording in this living room, and it was like, you know, through the window all this was happening. And I was like, can we just stop and like maybe go to a different room, or do we need to go over there and party with them?
Yeah.
And, man, it was just like the second time I went to Demopolis. I mean, it's just a party down there.
Yeah.
It's a happening little place to be a small town, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all hard.
It's a one-bar town.
Mm-hmm.
What about just like Nashville? Is there any plans on going back?
Plans on going back?
Yeah.
Eventually. Like I said, the one place that's really the most important to me is the Bluebird, and that, you know, they seat like, I think it's like between 50 and 75 people can only fit in that little bitty small club,
mm-hmm.
and so they're not, you know, they're not, they're kind of doing Bluebird on 3rd, like 3rd and Lindsley right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know when they're going to open up Bluebird proper, because you're all on top of each other in there, like you're all like, you know, sitting in these little bitty tables, and I'm waiting for that to open back up, and I know right now they're trying to save Exit Inn and stuff, so there's a lot of these places that are, you know, they're still struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, if like I said, I have a lot of ambitions and plans that I'm like, that I'm just watching.
Just kind of waiting on the world right now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm just waiting on, you know, it's everything's so up in the air still, but. But yeah, I don't have any concrete plans to get back, but there's definitely aspirations to get back there. That's
great. Well, guys, is there anything else to add or subtract? I do want to plug April 24th again. So if you're in the Birmingham area, or even if you're not, I plan to be out that day to hear it. So catch that. Anything else to plug? Social medias or any other story that we missed that you wanted to talk about?
I mean, other than, April 24th, Ghost Train. I'm going to be with Kyle and Steve and Daryl, and it's going to be a good time. And
thanks to Greg Intrican for getting us up there.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to it. I love that venue. I think it's going to be a great time.
I do, too. It's unique. Now, that's the train, the shipping containers kind of stacked and all,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I haven't caught a show out there. I guess you and me are about to, though.
Yeah, I mentioned Gary Evans, his band, Evans Butler. They're playing up there actually right now. So we can go catch the last set after we're done here and hear some good blues rock and roll.
Yeah. All right. Social media, is anything y'all want to plug before we go?
You just find, I know a lot of people are worried about adding people on, you know, their personal Facebooks, but I mean, if anybody wants to do that that's not already friends with me, then you go ahead and do that. That's fine. You can find me on Facebook and find Kyle on Facebook.
Don't go to my social media. There's nothing good going on.
No, mine's a dumpster fire, and that's the way I like it.
That's the way Kyle likes it, too. Like, yeah. Kyle's like...
Well, every... Okay.
Facebook arguments fill me with anxiety, and Kyle's like, ah.
I love chaos. Yeah. Chaos is my home.
Yeah. Kyle's been a good ad for me. It's like I like having those kind of people on my feed because I was like, what's he getting to do today?
Yeah. Is he stirring up now? Who's he pissing off?
I love it. But yeah, YouTube, I got a website, shiloh.com. Pretty much anywhere. If you type Cheyloe in Google, you will find probably everything I've ever done on the internet because the way the name is spelled, it's like I'm one of the only people still in the world that has that spelling. So.
Yeah, that's when I first saw it, I was like, I don't know how to say that.
Yeah, it's Native American.
Chloe.
Yeah, it's Cheyloe, is it?
A lot of people, I thought it was Chloe at first.
I've got people that still call me Chloe, and I'll just answer. I'm yes, that's me. I've got one person calls me Cheyenne. I've got this other guy at my church calls me Savannah.
Cheyenne.
Yeah, Cheyenne. Kyle calls me Cheyenne.
That's unique. Yeah. I was like, man, people never get the spelling of my name right. It's fairly simple. It's the easiest way. A-L-A-N.
Yeah.
And, I'll introduce myself, and they'd be like, Adam? I was like, you know what? Yeah, that's fine. I was like, because I know how people are with names. I was like, you're probably not going to remember any. Adam, Steve, Sue. Yeah, roll with it, right?
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're out of here. Do you want to plug graphic designing? Or I guess we've talked about it. Are you taking any jobs?
No. Okay. I'm not, if anybody wants, a poster or something like that done, we can talk about that, but, animation jobs, if you've got something that's coming out in 8 months from now, we could probably talk about that. But if you need something now, it's I'm going to be really, really hard pressed to take that up. Like I said, a lot of the people that are going to ask me to do it, I'm genuinely fans of. Megan McMillan asked me, I love her stuff. Bob Morrison asked me, I love his stuff. I have not had the time. But yeah, if you want a poster, you want a Facebook event graphic or something, let's do it.
All right, cool. All right, guys, we're out of here. Thank you.
Thank y'all so much for listening. Thanks, Alan, for having us. This song is called Who's on the Phone?
Got no paper in my pockets. Got no paper on my wall in the frame. Got one bedroom with plants on the porch in various states of decay. I got a box fan in my window and a game that don't require clothes. You can kiss me like you love me, and I won't ask who's on the phone. Highways in your heartbeat, there's a ghost train in your hips. I know all about that girl from County Line who gave you the scars pressed against my lips. And it's okay if you still miss her, I've got a few ghosts of my own. That's why you kiss me like you love me, and I don't ask who's on the phone. Inside, but if there was, it won't be there for long. There are better moves to beat these blues, but it sure beats being alone. So just kiss me like you love me, and I won't ask who's on the phone.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.